January 2, 2023 is the Wife of Peter O show.
Let me follow you again. You said my plan has on what?
I didn't say that. I said what the critics said.
Said, oh well, they seem to think that it's an angry sort of a thing. Is real. Some of them do. I don't know. But the critics
feel,
here.
Do you feel angry?
No, I don't. I was talking to a fellow today, and I told him that the reason I play so many, it sounds, maybe it sounds angry, because I'm trying so many things at one time, you see. Like, I haven't sorted them out. I have a whole bag of things that I'm trying to work through and get the one essential, you know.
Would you say that you're trying to play everything you hear one time or something like that?
No, there are some set things that I know, some devices that I know, harmonic devices that I know, that will take me out of the ordinary path, you see, if I use these. But I haven't played them enough, and I'm not familiar with them enough yet to take the one single line through them. So I play all of them, you know, trying to acclimate my ear so I can hear, you know.
Show. Happy Monday. Well, fucking first Monday of 2023, people. So we're going to make it a good one. I'm hopeful about this upcoming year and stuff. We start off with John Coltrane. He gets asked by this Swedish guy, Carl Eric Lindgren, on March 22nd, 1960, if he's angry. Yeah, right. I think that's why he put that picture he did on Love Supreme. Because these motherfuckers, one dude, you know, I've read six biographies on him now, and I'm reading the stuff, quotes he did in his interviews. And if I'm angry at anybody, it's myself, because I can't realize some of the parts I'm trying to play, and actually probably confused with serious. And then we had Danny Yamas with Fui Piedra. Piedra. Lo siento for the fucking up. The jinga. What's the pinche motherfucking can't speak right? Even my own language, so I don't mean any disrespect. Grammar spell. Anyway, those Skype engineers from Estonia with their, or their software engineers with their Skype invention. I can talk. And he said, hey, you're Spain. But Danny Yama.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Danny. Hola. Yeah.
Hola. Yeah. ¿Cómo estás?
Yeah, Grammar spell for fucking right away. Well, we got this spiel going on. That's what's happening. Marco Sorato, bass brother, hermano Bajo, and for making this connect. And I guess he's playing in your band now, also besides his own Orthodox.
Right on. He replaced these other bass player that was playing with us, Sebastián Orellana. He's a Chilean guy.
Yeah.
He moved back to Chile.
Okay.
So I got the right opportunity to bring Marco in my band, and he accepted, and then it's like, great.
You know, there was some Chile cats in Barcelona that I played with. Miranda, Familia Miranda or something?
You know Familia Miranda, yeah.
Yeah, you know these cats? And
I know these guys, yeah.
And the bassman, Milo.
Right.
Right, right. They also have some people in Hamburg, Germany. It's like kind of a connect, expatriates from Chile and stuff.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your journey. Please, Danny, bring your earliest musical memory.
Well, it's kind of tough, but I come from a neighborhood in a small town. Well, it's not that small, by the way. It's a town called Jerez, you know, where the sherry wine comes from.
Sure.
Yeah, and I come from there. And it's kind of to make a similarity. It's like New Orleans for jazz and blues. It is for flamenco.
Okay.
So right. Jerez is to me it's also like a musical cradle, where because my oldest memories it's about my grandfather and my mother singing flamenco songs. It was in the air, you know. It was something that happened in my house, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably my, the oldest memories that I got.
You know, people don't realize that voice, it's a fucking musical instrument. Bottoms of the feet are, too, when you're dancing. By yanda, you know, like a fucking drum, right? Like a batería. So, besides singing, was there instruments in that pad, that casa?
Not really. I think to me, flamenco is more of an.
No, I mean thing. You're familiar. Your pad.
No. My mother, my father, no instruments playing. My brother.
Except the voice. Yeah. Also, yeah,
my brother used to play piano.
So there was a piano in pad.
Yeah, there was a piano.
Did you ever jump on it?
About six. I jumped on it, by ear, you know. I like listening to songs and playing it after, but I hated, like, going to classes.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, the piano lesson nightmare.
I hated that so badly. So
how long did you do it?
I started playing guitar. I did, you know, listening to music and then playing it with a cassette and, you know, all that kind of shit. That's how I learned. So I guess the ear, you know, it's good. It's good for the ear and probably bad for your head. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know what John Coltrane said? You can play a shoelace if you're sincere. So, you know, any instrument, really. But, yeah. And piano is trippy. One button for every note. That's probably why a lot of composing's done on it. And, you know, it's a short, it's abbreviation because it should be pianoforte, soft, loud. Because before that, the keyboards could only go, you know, organ, harpsichord, no loud, soft, only one thing, no dynamic. So that's the big dealio of
that. The piano's got
right.
It's like a percussion instrument, too.
Well, I was going to say about the guitar, same thing. You can get soft, low, but instead of hammers, you got your fingers right on those strings. So what about at school? Were you in the... like the choir or the marching band, or did you take any music in school?
No, there used to be something going on that I refused to be in there, but my brother was in there. And it's something that you call it tuna, like T-U-N-A in Spain.
Yeah, it's like, fucking pescado.
Have you ever heard of that? And it's dressed like funny. there was that shit going on. I refused to go in there because it was a mixed one with with girls and boys, you know?
Okay.
Originally, it's just for boys. And, yeah. But, you know, it's got so many of that kind of culture that I refused, that I didn't want to join in.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
My first adventure playing with some other people was forming a punk rock band when I was, like, about 13.
Well, let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, please.
Probably about if it was Nirvana's Nevermind in 91 or It Takes a Nation to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy, probably yeah. about the same age.
Chuck D lives probably in California now. He married a professor here. Let me ask you this. First gig you saw live?
It was a local band called The Monitors.
Okay. And was it Garage?
A garage band.
Yeah, I was going to say that because Spain has always dug the garage scene.
Dude, it was a garage band, yeah.
But there still is garage in Spain, right? It's still a big deal.
It's a big deal, man.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Of course.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so many good bands.
Like the Trashmen, like they would go to this big festival. It was their big gig, like, you know, for 50 years or something. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
For me, music is music. So, you know, there's a scene, there's a, you know, a genre, a kind of clothes, a kind of rhythm, a kind of whatever you want to call it, but it's still music. You know, this is where, you know, at 65 years old, yeah. This is what life has taught me. So let me ask you this. You said you want, fuck the piano, I want to get on the guitar. When was the first time you got on the guitar?
I remember it was during my eighth grade and school. I was about 13. When, you know, there was this guy in my class.
Yeah.
And he used to wear Iron Maiden shirts. And he started, you know, he put like, brass strings to a flamenco guitar, you know? That is fucking hard, Mike.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Because, you know, the neck and this guitar is
of course.
Double, you know? And yeah. So that's how we started. We're playing guitar. Probably Iron Maiden covers or something like that.
No,
brass strings.
Let me ask you, Danny. He let you use his guitar?
Of course.
So only one guy could play? Or did he have two
of them? He goes like, yeah, this is a, I don't know, this is a fa, this is a, this is a, yeah.
He'd show you something, then he'd hand you the guitar, and then you'd play it.
Yeah, that's how it started. Okay. Yeah, I played with his guitar, and then I got one by that summer, 93 to 94.
But you didn't get a flamenco guitar with steel strings or brass strings, right? You got electric guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I got a guitar from my uncle. It was still a flamenco guitar, and I did the same thing.
Oh, you did?
I did the same thing.
Okay, because I thought you went and bought an electric guitar. And what are you guys doing, like Iron Maiden?
That was later on. But we started, like, you know, everybody's got a flamenco guitar here, man. So
okay.
You got it, what you got, right?
See. Yeah, yeah. So, at first, what, you guys are doing Iron Maiden copies?
Yeah, we did that shit. I mean, I was starting, like, I remember playing some songs from Iron Maiden. Everything that sounded like rock was great. Here, the hegemonic sound is the flamenco. Yeah, but we wanted to step out of that.
Sure,
right?
sure. You always want to react against what already is. You want to be your own guys.
Exactly. That is, and that's how we felt about that time. Because everybody was into the flamenco thing. So we were like, fuck this shit, you know? So we started to form a band, a punk rock band. I started to listen to a lot of older punk rock from the States and from the UK.
Yeah.
And then hardcore. And then, you know, some band, you know, a lot of classics and all and from the States.
Did this band have a name or did you guys just practice it?
You're gonna have fun. The first band that we had, the name was Snoopy's Nightmares. I still laugh about it, man. Snoopy's Nightmares. Because, you know, Snoopy, you know,
Peanuts.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
It's got some, in Spain, it's something related to the bourgeois culture. Like, you know, middle class kind of. We thought, like, we're gonna fight in them. So, you know, we're gonna say that Snoopy's Nightmares, you know, something like that. Because all this, we call them pijos. Pijos are the bougies, you know?
Yeah.
It's a reaction against them, you know, because, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. Huh? A lot of manure.
Exactly, man.
You gave me some great music. I want to play this un manto de fuego.
Dos fantasmas recorren la tierra, el amor.
God is his voice, and the earth shall melt away. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Juan from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with, yeah, Danny Llamas with Un Manto de Fuego. And then Orthodox, Marco Serrato's band. The Sun, the Sword, and the Bread. Of course, what else is there? And then Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Seven Threshold Flux. Shovel Dance Collective. This trippy stuff. And this is part three, this album that had like four parts, and this is the third part. And then finally, Danny Llamas again with Que Bien Mi Sueña Tu Nombre. Dreaming, dreaming, dreaming. So, back to the story. Now, tell me about the first gig that fucking Snoopy's Nightmare did.
Man, that's the first gig we did. Oh, now I remember. It was in high school, of course. And we played, it was like a kind of a contest, you know, band contest or something like that.
Sure. Like we call them Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, the Battle of the Bands, something like that. Yeah, and that's how it was. It was '94, I guess.
Yeah.
And we played a cover of the Sex Pistols' "God Save the Queen." Of course, man. But we changed it to. I started yelling it in Spanish, which is "Dios salve al rey," sure. And "No future with the king," because you know Spain is also a monarchy, so
sure. But this guy had to—he had to run away, right? Some bad stuff. Well,
he's a fucking voter. He's a fucking—he steals money
he had to be used like a crowbar to pry fucking Franco, the fascists out, right?
Exactly. He was named there by Franco.
Found letters that he wrote to Francois Mitterrand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know a little bit, but let's stay on your music. I'm sorry. You know why? So, was the gig a success or failure?
I suppose it's a success. It depends what you define. How do you define a success? To me, it was accurate because it's the first time we played in front of people, and people kind of slammed. So that was a success.
I guess. No, because I've had a lot of shit thrown at me and stuff, so maybe that's a success, though, too. It's like you say, it's what you mean by that.
And it's filmed in Mexico that is success, despite to you, if they like you.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the old punk, in the 70s punk, yeah. They were spitting on you and shit. Oh, man, the first paid gig that we did, it was our 35th gig at Starwood in West Hollywood, and they spit on us so... And when you play instruments, you can't block your mouth.
Yeah, you can, man.
No, right down the fucking in hole, right in the in hole. So, now the material, was it all covers, more Sex Pistols, or was there any Snoopy's Nightmare original material?
Yeah. That's, you know, and now I'm trying to get more serious on this, but to me, music has always been my way to write songs and put them into space, you know? So it's... I like covers, but I really like writing music, and that's the motto that I have when I started playing music.
Do you remember the first song you wrote, Danny?
I can't remember the name of that song, but I remember I was writing songs, and that piano I told you, my brother, probably when I was like 10 or 11 or something like that.
Oh, so you were writing before you were in fucking Snoopy's Nightmare.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote songs, probably not singing on them, but like writing little parts with the piano. Sure. And like, you know, I really like writing songs. That's the thing I like the most, yeah.
Okay. So you guys are like practicing after school and stuff. Do you guys ever record?
Yeah, we recorded two demos in 95 and 96. That was those two demos. I remember the studio was in another village, in another city called San Fernando. And
that's what we call the Val. Yeah, you know that. You know that, right? North of Hollywood, they call the Val is San Fernando Valley.
Yeah. It's San Fernando and Cali in the south of Spain. So my father used to drive me up there to the studio, and it's funny because he drove us there, and the studio was inside the house, the parental house of the guy that owned the studio.
Yeah.
So I remember we passed through the living room and say, hello to the parents, and then going up to the studio, and then my father was still down there in the car waiting for us, and like after 4 hours,
four hours in the coaching,
we got our tape, and it was like, yeah, off we go, back home, you know. So yeah. He drove us back home. Yeah, he waited there for 4 hours.
Like Gaijin Gao, I mean, fucking 4 hours.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, we recorded live and all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Man, man. Look, I'll tell you about studios and people's folks' pad. Rudy Van Gelder, his first studio was in his parents' living room, you know, where John Coltrane and those people recorded in New Jersey.
Yeah,
yeah, so maybe you guys had a little parallel universe going. And why do you call them demos? They never got pressed up?
No, we did those presses. It was very rudimentary. And the first time we got something pressed, it was with the other band that's still going on, Gas Drummers, and it was in 98. That was the first time we really
got it. Oh, is that GAS Drummers?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So that band comes out of Snoopy's Nightmare or different people?
That one comes out from Snoopy's Nightmares, the two of us from Snoopy's Nightmares, and then it was a trio at the beginning. It was three of us.
Okay.
And another drummer, the good drummer that we knew, a good drummer in our town.
So yeah.
We always wanted him to come and play with us. He didn't want to, but finally we convinced him, and now he's still my drummer. He my drummer. He drums in my records, the Danny Gamma's records and all that.
That's beautiful. But there's nothing like having a good drummer, right?
It's you don't have a good band until you have a good drummer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jimi Hendrix said, "Mitch Mitchell, that's my Elvin Jones." So how long did Snoopy's Nightmare last?
95 to 98.
94 to 98. 3 years. You're in high school.
It was 3 years, yeah.
So you're still in high school.
Oh, yeah. I was still in high school.
And then you put together Gas Drummers?
And the last year of high school, yeah.
Okay. And what would you say is the biggest difference between Gas Drummers and Snoopy's Nightmare?
Because we took it more seriously. And we started touring, and we pressed records. So it eventually got... And we toured. We toured Canada twice.
Over here. Okay.
We toured Europe for like 15 times. The Gas Drummers were kind of a thing going on in a punk rock kind of world.
Yeah.
Was a band that, you know, got us play with a lot of our I don't know how to say it, like teenage heroes, you know?
Sure.
And we got us to see the world.
Yeah, touring is an incredible experience. I've been doing it for 40 years, only 40 years more.
Oh, yeah, man. And you know how it is, Mike, like,
yeah.
you go, like, imagine you're out in, I don't know, let's say in Hamburg.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure you have someone to call in Hamburg.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Sure. Big time.
Oh, you're in Paris. You might have someone to call in Paris because you've been there and you probably slept in someone's
couch. No, I got people all over the place, yeah.
Dude, it's people that haven't toured don't know the values of it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's my life has been probably sleeping in couches more than in hotels, but
yeah.
What the fuck?
Me too.
The real thing. Traveling
yeah.
makes human beings better people. I don't know how to say it.
No, yeah. I think it's one of the most excellent politics. Because, you know, it's people with people. Look, Danny, we're at the end of the first hour of the January 2, 2023 edition of the Lot for Pedro Show. Special guest, Danny Yama. Hold tight for hour two. January 2, 2023. It's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro Show.
Que no era algo mío. slowly killing me. 3 years ago to the day, these bitten displays seemed to find you. Very simple thin white line, you seem to cross it every time. You act as if you can see through. What awaits on the other side? Life is almost out of time. The number of heartbeats this life gives to you, to you through. I'd like to go with you and post me for these possible people. They're beautifully painted. Go with you and those people, these possible people that are beautifully painted. The lovely marvelous
inspire, you know, breathe some of the culture. That's the best.
Life, and look, the world is a classroom. If you fucking believe sincerely, everyone's got something to teach it. That's what I think too, Danny.
Of course.
Okay, people, we would start off the second hour with Danny Yamas doing Produce Monstrous. Monstrous.
Yeah.
Fucked it up, sorry. Okay, Almighty Op after that with Possible People. Adam Trumbo Throwing Jacks. Guide by Voices. God, this guy puts out albums every other month. Bob Pollard, he's incredible. Redeveloped. Noisuka after that with Le Cocteau. Chloral Blast and Swing Time from Rubber O Cement. And then Danny Yama with Entre la Maleza. Maleza.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting it. I'm learning. I'm okay, slow learner, why? Okay, let's get back to the story. So now we got gas drummers going. You're touring your asses off. Now, like you went overseas and stuff like that, but there's a circuit in Spain too, right? Or did you include that in big Europe tours?
Yeah, we toured all over Europe and Spain too, and the UK.
Yeah.
So, we visited the islands a few times too. It was easier before the Brexit, and we toured all over, and also in Canada a couple of times, and Spain's got its own circuit, but we were one of the first punk rock bands in Spain that actually tried to tour out abroad. You know,
that's great. Our country. Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's great, because you know you. I play with some Italian musicians, and they told me, you know, the Roma guys, they only play Roma. It's like, come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. come on.
So, Gas, I know they recorded because Marco sent me some stuff. Was that different than recording with Snoopy's Nightmare?
It was different. I think it was...
Did your pop drive you there and wait 4 hours?
No, not that time. First record we did it, and this is funny because I was 18 by the time, and we were recording it in the city of Granada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Granada. Yeah. It
was,
yeah.
The first time, you know, and it was still the time when record labels paid for the recordings. You remember those times?
Yeah. I was on Columbia Records for 14 years. SST so, for 11 years.
You remember those times,
yeah.
Right?
But SST days didn't pay, but it was okay. It was, yeah, so you had a Jammy Cano, right?
Yeah, and so we were there, and we were about by around, we were really like young when I was 18, and we were we were sleeping in some, I don't know how to say, some pension, you know,
yeah.
Not even a hotel.
Like a hotel for older people, retired people.
Something like that. It was all paid by the record label, and I had a great experience doing that. It was the first time I really did a record, and then the record got pressed, and then it got pressed in overseas. They got a North American edition. It was slightly different. We got two different songs from that edition. And, yeah, I was so young, so I thought it was, woo, this is it, you know?
But yeah, was there a difference? Was it an evolution from Snoopy's Nightmare to Gas drummers?
It was way more technical. The kind of, you know, the songs were faster.
Oh, you did say more serious.
Yeah, yeah. Those songs were faster and more technical. You know, like
and what
a
about,
lot of hoops and very.
What about the actual process of recording? Did you use a producer?
Yeah, there was this guy who runs the studio. It was Javi. It's got the name is Pig Studios in Granada. Pig like oink oink.
Sure, sure.
So,
Cerdo. Cochino.
Cerdo. Yeah. So so he was kind of the producer. He owns the studio, and you know, a very 90s sound, like trying to, you know, trigger it up everything. I don't like that kind of
a little
stuff.
Synthetic. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. If I was too young. You know,
Sure.
You can't decide so many things. You're guided by people that are supposed to know. But, you know, we're sons of our time in the end, so.
Danny, let me ask you. What does Gas Drummers mean?
Oh, man. Let me tell you a story. The Snoopy's Nightmares. We always had problems with our drummers, okay? Because our drummers left the band because they wanted to spend more time with their girlfriends, right?
Right.
So we were in the train, me and the bass player, Paco Moto. Okay. We're like bragging about, fuck, we've been left, we let's say it again because the drummer didn't want to come.
Let down. He let us down.
He let us down. What the fuck? What's going on? And he said, like, you know what, dude? Go ahead, single drummers. Go ahead, single drummers. It's like, yeah, G-A-S drummers. We should call a new band like that. And like, yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, it was a funny story about behind the
it's an actor.
That's the story, man.
Okay. I'm going to play some more Danny Yamas here.
Thank you.
Juan from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with Danny Yama's doing Yo Naciento Los Copas. Then we had Head Boggle, Sundowner. Ode to Billy Joe / Speak Low from Fausto / Faustito. They're from Texas, Austin, I think. Death Tape Super Bass, Not Under Until It's Over, I think Milwaukee. Larry Boast after that. I know he's a... Goddamn. What's that called? Grants Pass, Oregon. Yeah. The Opportunist. The Grief Counselor Kleenex Conspiracy from Ray Shin out of Reno. And finally, Danny Yamas again with La Harita. Okay. Interesting about... and gas is still going.
Yeah. Still going, yeah. We played... The last tour we played was in 2017. We did Canada. We played with an American band called, a U.S. band called Iron Chick.
Yeah.
And we were playing in support of a Canadian band that are called Propagandy. That are friends of us.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
We're doing this tour together with Iron Chick and Propagandy.
They kind of came back tour, together, right?
Yeah. We're touring together in Canada. And so right after that, the Gas Drummers had a great hiatus until last December the 5th, where we rejoined it to do entirely Never Mind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Whoa!
We did that, yeah. And let me tell you something, it's a great record. How great is this record? I mean, like,
it was.
Holy great. It was really, really. Yeah, so we covered the whole record. I left the guitar aside and just sung. I got the microphone. Normally I play guitar and sing, but I didn't. I was Joe Lydon, by the way.
Right.
So I had to do with just one guitar. Okay. And I was.
You already had Steve Jones.
I have Pablo did Steve Jones very, very well. Yeah.
He's actually a great cat. Johnny Rotten. I met Johnny Rotten a couple of times. He can be you roll the dice with that man. But Steve Jones has always been very kind to me. Very kind. He's got a radio show. He had me on for like 3 hours. He had me jam with him. Some Stooges.
Really?
Creedence and, God, All Right Now, Free. Right? Andy Frazier, that end part there. So, but Gas Drummers, you get other music going besides that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I started out doing my solo records from 2009. That was the first record that I did in solo because I started to write a lot of like folky songs. You know, this was one thing that I haven't said. It's I've always written in English up until the last two records. Okay, so this stuff I was written in English.
Yeah.
So I wrote my first solo record in 2009. And we got this guy, Ken Stringfellow, from the postseason.
Sure, Ken Stringfellow, yeah.
He produced that record.
I think maybe Seattle, right?
Yeah, he played piano in R.E.M. Yeah.
Right, as a sideman. But he also had that band Posies, right?
He's one of the two singers in the Posies, of course. Yeah. And so he produced this first record, this first solo record I did. And, it's a good record. I like it. It's a very folky pop.
Where'd you do it? In Spain or did you do it in the U.S.?
We did it in this studio that because I think Ken lived in Paris by that time.
Okay.
So he was doing a lot of stuff in Europe, and we did it in Paco Loco's studio. Have you ever heard of this guy?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Really interesting.
He's the greatest.
We're going to continue, but we're at the end of the second hour now. January 2, 2023. This is what Pedro Show special guest, Danny Yama. Hold tight, hour three. January 2, 2023. It's the third hour of the What for Pedro Show.
Mañana he llovido, los señores en su casa y yo en el campo a recibir. Se canta lo que se pierde, dijo quien bien lo sabía. Yo canto a la libertad, porque nunca ha sido mía. Dicen que las penas matan, no es así, porque ya me habrían matado a mí. Dicen que las penas matan, no es así, porque de ser así ya me habían matado a mí. Maestro, maestro mío, buen comunista y valiente, por enseñar a tu gente te sentenciaron a muerte. Matan a diestro y siniestro, matan de noche y de día, matan al Ave María, matarán al Padre Nuestro. Dicen que las penas matan, no es así, porque ya me habían matado a mí. Dicen que las penas matan, no es así, porque me será así, ya me habían matado.
Thank you. feels unreleased, taut in his neon cage. The one who whispers without words suggests another stage. The thrill of hanging, the thrill of dangling at the very edge of death. So very close, so very near, near to your final breath. He's sucked into the inky pool before the noose is loosed. Then his life just drains away. Oh, another strangled fool. The comedian decides he shouldn't take another shot. Another speedball raging, the lightning fairly caught. The whisper without words insists on just one more hit. Just one more, not so much. Oh man, you'll be so lit. And when his lungs fill up with blood, he sees the Omega sign. As the end comes with a thud, he hears the last punchline. And the gambler, he throws the dice, a half million on one toss. He knows now that he should quit, losing big's too big a cost. But then the whisper comes, a hiss right from the air, and suddenly he takes the leap and bets it all right there. He loses all, yes, everything, and drifts up to his room. Should he use the gun beside his bag? A sweep with a new broom. The wordless whisper hisses, suggests without a sound. Hisses softly in his ear. True hope cannot be found. And people in the parking lot, counting money they'll lay down, scarcely notice that final shot, that quick and lonesome sound. The whisperer needs no words to hit your life apart. He can't be seen, he's never heard, but he's with you from the start. Heed him if you must, my friend, you'll hear him in your heart. Laughing, clearly laughing, joyful in his art.
Some have the soul. Yellow evil, so look at what you're here.
Bob from Pedro Show. Started the third hour off. Danny Yama's doing Se Canta en lo que se pierde. Because that's in the fucking title of the first song we played. Fui pierde. Ah, okay. Lots noticing things. Then we have Chip Kim in from the Dills doing I Can Count to Tony 19. Now, his brother Tony was called Tony 19, right? Because they thought, they're like, you know, 1976 punk bands. So they think, well, two brothers can't be in the same, you know, siblings, can't be in the same band. So I'm not going to be Tony Kidman and you Chip Kidman. I'll be Tony 19. Yeah, and he actually, I saw him just before he passed away. It's fucking terrible, heartbreak. But I brought my bass, my friend, old Fender Pete, and he signed it, 19. He said, you don't care, it's too romantic, Mike. I said, no. He said, love you, Mike. And he said, what wrote 19? Dills was a big influence on Minuteman. There was a lot of band, Pop Group, Wire, Dills, Germs, oh, man, Screamers, Nervous Gender, all that stuff, you know, Fall. I can't, you know, it's community, definitely. Wordless Whisper, Fred Hodgson with John Shirley and Jerry King. Chinatown from Bjorn Magnuson, Etage 34th floor. But yeah, my French, pardon. And with Tenko, great singer lady from Tokyo, and Densit, and finally Danny Yama with La Muerto El Mar. Yep, killing the ocean, people. Don't do it. Don't piss in your drinking water, right? That's what my pop said. Okay, so you start doing your solo records.
Yeah.
But you keep the gas drummers going.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm doing both things.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's okay. Life's about taking turns, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, I suddenly realized that, you know, the songs that I wrote were more like folky, acoustic, and all that. I put it in a drawer. And the other songs were more like rocking, punk rock songs.
Yeah.
You know, I put it in the gas drums drawer. And that's how it was until 2019 when I got signed by this North American label from California called One Week Records. It was run by this guy, Joey Cape.
Okay.
From Black Weapon.
Yeah.
And I went to
Lagwagon, yeah. I think NoFX, what they call Fat Records, yeah.
They were Fat Records. So Joey, who's, you know, is a good friend of mine, and we started doing stuff together, and he got me signed to his record label. So he flew me to Los Angeles, Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles.
We did a record together in Los Angeles. And he said, eventually he goes like, dude, I really like your songs, but I really love how you write in English. How comes you're not from an English-speaking country? And then I said, like, I should start writing in Spanish right away. Because, you know, it was the ultimate shove, you know.
From a SoCal dude.
Exactly. someone from California tells you, you write really good songs in English. And I go, like, fuck it. I have to do it in Spanish now. And that's how I turned to to my mother language and started to do this records that all these songs that you've been playing and on the show.
Yeah, and what studio were they recorded it?
It's a studio that's in Los Feliz.
Los Feliz, the happy.
Yeah, Los Feliz.
I like this. I like this place. Happy. I like this place. It's like a little east of Hollywood.
Exactly. And I was there, and it's this guy called Asher. He's got this studio. It's a great studio, man. I was playing with guitarists, and I was writing down the serial number in Google, and I freak out when I realized it was from the 30s or from the 60s, you know?
Oh,
wow. Well, I was doing that while Joey was mixing. You know, a lot of studio time, you know? Mixing time, right?
Sure.
You can either go to Amoeba and grab some records or go have coffee or something while people is, like, editing or, you know?
Yep.
But I was putting these all guitar serial numbers into Google, and I freaked out. Yeah, it was like in a museum or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was there. That was studio there, and we did this record there, and it was great times.
Okay, let's play another two. Yeah. Or another two tunes.
querido lleva un camino. Lleva un camino, lleva un camino que no es corto ni largo, sino con mañana no llego, me habré perdido. Me habré perdido, me habré perdido. Búscame en la vereda que lleva al río. Que lleva al río. Que pierde lo que ha tenido, lo que ha tenido, lo que ha tenido. Hoy mi pueblo se ahoga en el olvido. Que lleva el río.
quiera. De hace más de 100 años en Jerez de la Frontera, la mala hierba, la mala hierba, la escardan con sus manos campesinos sin tierra, como la niebla. Crecen en la noche con hoces y soletas, calle por vera, calle por vera. Muere un pobre hombre y florece una revuelta. En los llanos de Caulina esperaban la señal. La muerte estaba barata. Caro el pan, en los cuarteles. Capitanes dudan, los soldaditos temen. La turba crece, la turba crece. En la plaza Belén, los presos ya la huelen. Suenan cañones, ya se disuelve. Ya corrió la sangre, a cientos detienen. Cuatro inocentes, aquel tornillo frío les aprieta hasta la muerte. En los llanos de Caulina esperaban la señal. La muerte estaba barata. Caro el pan en los llanos de Caulina, esperaban la señal, la muerte estaba barata. Caro el pan, caro el pan.
Again, it's like, hey Danny, this is Tim Armstrong, and I'm like, all right, this might be serious. Yeah, and so yeah, he got here and we started to make music together, and this guy is a big lover of B movies from the 60s, right?
Yeah, well, I know when they started it was called Operation Ivy, yeah, and it was like ska. I knew he was into ska.
Totally, he was into that. And probably he's into that too.
I gotta say that bass man he's got, Matt Freeman. That guy can play. Man. That guy can play.
He's a bass player, right?
And then who's because the Rancid band was kind of like Lars, right? They brought him on, and I like Lars too. He's a good cat. Good cat.
Yeah.
So the guys on this album that we've been playing, because you did you fly over by yourself or did you bring over some Spanish musicians?
And Tim Armstrong record?
No, on this record right here that we've been playing, Danny.
It's all American musicians.
Well, now who arranged that? The producer?
Yeah, Joey did that.
Joey did that. Okay. Did you have any idea or what?
Yeah, I got all these songs, you know, and they sort of I sent him all the songs, and he probably got through the songs.
You made demos and like then. Joey went and, okay, so these guys learned all the shit, so everybody had it together. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. He got a cello player.
Jesus.
And a drummer.
Okay.
And the drummer is a good cat. And the drummer is a guy from Chicago. He plays in the band called the Lawrence Arms.
Okay. You know his name?
He's great. He's fantastic.
You know his name?
He was jamming there in Los Angeles, like a lot of people do. You know.
Do you know his name? Well, a lot of yeah. I was talking to a guy. Yeah. A guy,
Bill Henderson.
Okay. There was a guy on the, maybe a day before yesterday. He just drove out from Virginia and he went like to some music school in Hollywood, right? Music Institute. He just went for it. Cause I think Southern California, people think the music thing, you know? And it's true. It's pretty big. But you know, nowadays you can make music anywhere. We got the internet, right?
Exactly. That's a good and bad thing, but it's probably. Yeah. More good than bad.
How long did it take, Danny? Yeah, of course, it's a mixed thing, yeah.
It takes a week, man. It's the whole thing about that record label. It's called One Week Records.
Okay, so it gives you one week to make your record.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that.
That's so fucking awesome, man.
Because that ruins a lot of records. They spend too much fucking time on it.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, sometimes even one day is enough. I don't know. But that's real. It's a 1 week record. You have to record, I don't know, 12 songs in 1 week.
And
have them mix them.
Whatever, you know? Okay.
Some additional mixing you can do afterwards probably and then master, right?
Right.
The whole thing you have to record, you have to do it in 1 week. And that's the thing. And I like the philosophy of the record label.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, congrats on it, truly. Where can people find you on the internet? Is there a Danny Yama website?
You know, there's this Bandcamp thing.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I like that.
I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on DannyYamas.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, I should tell people.
Yeah.
Because of the pronounce is a little trippy for English. D-A-N-I. LLAMAS.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay, yeah. There's no such thing as a llama, people.
you don't want to say that.
Okay.
We call him Yama.
Of course.
Llama is like the
not lavis. It's your keys aren't your lavis, they're your llaves. Yeah. We're learning. What's your next plan, Danny?
You know, I still got a way to go with this kind of recovering the roots from our country, this flamenco thing. I think we have still a way to go in that direction. Okay. So we're doing a live session at the end of January.
Okay.
Now with Marco on bass.
It is January. At the end of the month.
At the end of the month, yeah, we're recording a live session. We're doing it for video too. We're releasing it in you know, we're going to put it on YouTube, too. So we're going to like an old farm in the outskirts of Jerez, and we're doing this live session. And so with some of the songs you already played. And, that's the most, that's the upcoming thing. And then we got some more touring in springtime. And I'm now writing more songs, new songs that probably eventually I'll get to record later this year.
Well, man, whatever you get going. And when you get done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Man, I'm so honored to be here talking to you.
Oh,
whenever you want, I'm right at the end of the spot.
When you get when your music's ready, please bring.
Oh, I'm honored with that.
Yeah, oh, beautiful, beautiful.
I promise.
Yeah, no, beautiful. Really, really, righteous. You know, keep kicking like Cato. People, it's been the January 2nd, 2023 Dish and Walk Pedro Show. keep your powder dry.